If you've ever been attending the river, or if you've been attending the river or watching the river for any length of time, you know that we, over the past several years, we talk a lot about battle and journey and process and fighting. How many of you know that? Like, we're constantly talking about those things. Battle, journey, process, fighting, those type of things. It's not by accident that we talk about these things. This is a strategic plan that we feel like the Lord has given us, and there's a spiritual reason for it. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, "Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses." And then Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world and against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in heavenly places." I want to tell you that these evil spirits do not take a day off. They don't take a day off. They don't sit back. They aren't intimidated because you own several guns and know how to use them, okay? They're not impressed with your education or your degrees. They couldn't care less that you are street smart and you know how to fight. They're not concerned with that. They're constantly pursuing the destruction of the human race. It is only when you know the truth of God's word, it's only when you know this, that they become intimidated and scared. They tremble at the fact that you know the word of God. They tremble in fear when they know that you know this. But if you don't know the word of God, it doesn't matter what you can do in your own human strength or in your human power. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what type of income you have. It doesn't matter. Your wealth is not important if you don't know the truth. You can do nothing against the enemy without the truth of God's word. As Lydia said last week, this is the sword of the Spirit. So without the sword of the Spirit, without your weapon, you have nothing to fight with. It's so important for us to understand that, that there are absolutely nothing that scares the enemy more than the word of God. They're terrified when you understand the word of God. Near the end of Paul's life, he said in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful." I have fought the good fight. This is a fight. So, you know, Lydia did such a great job last week. Wasn't her message awesome last week? Yes. She kicked off this series, It's All in Your Mind, and she talked about getting out of the trenches. And I'm telling you, her message hit the nail on the head. I was so just infused with confidence and just empowered. I was like, I can't wait till next week because I know what God's going to do and the message he's given me. And it was so set up so well by Lydia's message. It's in the trenches that you are fighting against fear, complacency, comfort, and apathy. It's in those trenches. If you stay there long enough, you will be paralyzed by those things. Lydia talked last week about how the enemy will eventually, if you stay in the trenches, the enemy will eventually pour over or come over into the trench where you are and kill you dead. You can't just stay in the trench. I know the trench is a place where we would go to have a little comfort for a moment, to have a reprieve, to maybe bandage a wound and get something to eat and rest for a moment. But too often in the church, we stay in the trenches. We just stay there. We get to that place and we're like, man, this battle is tough. It's hard. It's rough. You know, we go through a lot. It doesn't matter if you're, have a job out in the world, a secular job, or in the church. I've been working in the church for a number of years now, and it doesn't matter whether you're in the world or in the church. You fight the good fight of faith no matter where you are. There's a fight going on no matter where you are. Some people think it's easier because I'm a pastor and I get to come to church every day. It's not easier. I've worked in the world and I've worked in the church. It's just the same. You fight the same fight no matter where you're at. It's just a little bit different. So it's important for us to understand this. It's important for us to understand that sometimes when we deliver truth or when we receive truth, it's hard. Lydia described this last week when she said that Kim and I at one point in their lives at a difficult time gave them a word of truth, and it was hard. It was offensive to give to receive that. And I just want to tell you that there have been many times that we have given a word of truth to somebody that it offended them. It rubbed them the wrong way. It offended them. We've had people we've given a word of truth to before that wouldn't speak to us for months. They were so upset with the word that we gave them that they wouldn't speak to us for months. It wasn't the way we approached them. We examined our hearts. We went to them in love. But because it was the truth and it kind of shook them from a place they were in, from a trench that they were embedded into, it upset them. And that can happen. But let me tell you this. This is it's risky to friendships, but we love you too much to let you stay in a dangerous place. We love you too much to allow you to retreat in fear. Our love for you is worth risking our friendship to tell you the truth of God's word. Yes. And that's what we do every week. We get up here and we preach the truth of God's word. And I'm going to say something to us today as a church that might sting a little bit. It might be something that rubs you the wrong way. It might be something you go, oh, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? But trust me, I'm going to give you scripture to back it up. I'm not just going to say something without giving you scripture. So what do we do next? If we get out of the trenches, like Lydia was talking about last week, get out of the trenches to go fight the good fight of faith, how do we fight this good fight of faith? Well, let me show you something that slows us down, that prevents us from fighting this fight like we should. There's two things. The first thing is we have to throw off every weight that hinders us. Throw off every weight that hinders us. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So if you're a follower of Jesus, which I believe everybody in this place is, because if you weren't when you walked in here, you just gave your heart to the Lord in just the last hour, right? So if you're a follower of Jesus, you know that sin trips us up. How many of you know that? Sin trips us up, right? We want to avoid sin. It's a dangerous thing, right? As a follower of Jesus, we're going to stay away from sin. But how many of you knew that there can be things that are not sin that will hinder you and slow you down from following Jesus? That's exactly what the scripture says. Look at it. There are things that cannot be sin, but they can slow us down. Therefore, since you are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, comma, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So this shows us that weight and sin are two different things. There can be things in your life that are weights that are not sin, that slow you down and prevent you from following Jesus like he desires you to follow him and like you want to follow him. And these weights will hold you back. And I'm going to show you in just a few moments, I'm going to show you how not only will they hold you back, but they can drag you back into sin if you allow them to, okay? So I'm going to do an illustration today, a little illustrated sermon. So I've got some helpers here. Rod, Rodney, Kim, will you come? They're already, listen, you get second service quality here, right? They already know what they're doing now because we did it in the first service. So they're going to come up and help me. Yes, they are. Come on, guys. This is a high quality sermon illustration right here. Rod's going to be Jesus, all right? Kim and Rodney are going to be something else. Not Jesus. They're not Jesus, all right? So again, going with the scripture, Hebrews 12:1, there are weights that slow us down, things that hinder us. So what are some of those things? I'm just going to give you a few of those things today, okay? A few of those things that slow us down can be things that look very innocent, even very helpful in our lives. You know, there can be good things, but if it's a good thing and not a God thing, is it good for us? Like, is it in our lives because God put it there? Is that what God wants for our lives? Yeah. Right, like a friendship. Rodney's a friend of mine, okay? So being a friend of mine, is this friend of mine hindering me or helping me move toward Jesus? We can have friendships in our lives that are not helping us in our walk with Jesus, but they're actually hindering us and slowing us down. Many times when we first give our hearts to the Lord, we come up with this, right? This happens in our lives. How many of you, when you first gave your heart to the Lord, there were friends in your life that didn't need to stay in your life? You can say that, right? Some of you don't even know, right? You're like, I don't know. They can be a friend, but they're not a friend that's helping us move toward Jesus. They're a friendship that's hindering us from moving toward Jesus. They're slowing us down. They're holding us back. I'm trying to move towards Jesus, but he's not coming in this direction. So as I'm trying to get to Jesus, he's holding me back and slowing me down. But I want to be a friend with him. We hang out together. We're softball playing buddies and hunting buddies. Well, we don't really hunt together, but I want to hang out with him. But he's not helping me get to Jesus. I'm trying to go to Jesus, and he's hindering me and holding me back. He's a weight. And some of us, what we'll try to do as followers of Jesus, we'll try to pull them along. Well, but I'm going to lead him to the Lord. I'm going to lead him to Jesus. But we're not really leading them anywhere. They're just holding us back. And if we keep going in this direction, we keep trying to do this, not only are we not leading them somewhere, but they may be pulling us back toward them. It's a friendship that's in our life because we allowed this friendship in our life, but did we consult Jesus on this friendship? Did we ask Jesus if this was good for us? See, because give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus, right? That's what we sing. That's what we worship. That's what we say. But when it comes to making decisions on what stays in our life, are we throwing off every weight that hinders us and going toward Jesus? Now, so many of us are like, no, it's not a sin, so why should I get rid of it? Because it's a weight that's hindering you, that's throwing you off, it's keeping you back from Jesus. And then maybe we have a relationship in our life. This lovely woman right here. Come here, baby. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm married to her, and you know this, but she's just going to stand in as part of this illustration because I couldn't use another woman in this church.
No,
so, you
could not.
No, you could not. That's right. Yeah, baby. I'm all yours. But for this illustration, let's just say we're dating, okay? We're dating, and I'm in a relationship with her, and I'm trying to go toward Jesus, but she's not. She's not in step with me. She's not in tune with me. She's not going toward Jesus. I want to get to Jesus, but in this relationship is not all centered on Jesus. And we're like, well, I'm not committing sin. We're not doing anything wrong, because I'll just say this right now. There are kids in the room, but I'll say this right now. You know that fornication is sin. How many of you know that? Hello?
Amen.
Say amen. Is fornication sin? Yes.
Amen.
Fornication, you know what that is. I won't say it, but you know, if you don't know, look it up. But I'm not committing fornication, but for some reason I'm trying to get to Jesus, but this relationship is holding me back. This relationship is keeping me from going to Jesus. I didn't consult Jesus about this relationship. She's just hot, and I wanted to be with her. I'm just trying to give you some truth here. And we're trying to go to Jesus, but this relationship is holding us back from Jesus. And if we stay in it long enough, all of a sudden it pulls us back this way, and then fornication happens or something like that. It becomes sin. It's not sin right now, but it still can be a weight that slows us down. See, the enemy is just, if he can't get you to sin, then he's satisfied with just putting weights in your life that slow you down, slow your progress from getting to Jesus. As Christians, we're so centered on sin. Sin, sin, sin. Let's just keep sin out of our lives. And yes, we should. But we get so centered and focused in and zeroed in on sin that there are things, there are distractions, there are weights that the enemy has put in our lives to slow us down from getting to Jesus. We want to get to him, but all the while we're chained to these weights and we're afraid to cut them loose. Or maybe it's not a relationship, or it's not a friendship, but maybe it's something else. Maybe there's something else in our life, like a hobby. And we got a weight in our life of a hobby. Maybe that hobby is hunting. Oh, hunting season's coming up. Isn't it? Yeah, it is. Woo! Hunting season's coming up. Maybe it's hunting. Maybe that's a weight. Or maybe it's sports. Yeah, I got season tickets to the Lions. Not this year, but last year I got season tickets to the Lions. And yeah, I want to go to church, but the games all start at 1 o'clock. And in order to get down there and tailgate and be part of the game, hey, I'm a sports fanatic, so, I can talk about this. In order to do that, something's got to give. So at least for the fall season, I'm going to be at Ford Field, not at the River Church. Well, it's not sin. It's not sin. No, it's not sin. It's not sin at all, but it's still a weight that's holding you back. Oh, I want to get to Jesus. I want to get to Jesus, but I'm not part of the fellowship of the body on Sundays because I'm going down to the sporting event. I know. See, I know it's quiet in this room, but right now I'm like, you're like, well, that doesn't offend me. That doesn't bother me because I don't do those things. Okay, well, maybe it's not hunting and maybe it's not sports. Maybe it's gaming. Oh, yeah, I said it. Maybe it's gaming, you know, gaming. Do you know that gaming is one of the most addictive things? You know that there are adults, like millions of adults addicted to gaming, not just kids. You're concerned about keeping out of kids' hands, but there are adults who are addicted to it. I have a friend who years ago at a church that I was at, I have a friend, an adult friend, who was so addicted to gaming that in the middle of his game, he wouldn't get up and leave the computer and he wet himself because he would not leave the computer. Addicted to gaming. It's a weight that's slowing us down from getting to Jesus. So maybe it's not a hobby or something like that. Well, maybe it's an activity. Maybe it's an activity. I'm just going to chain it to the same thing here. Maybe it's an activity that's slowing us down, weighing us down. How about an activity like drinking? Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't mean water or Coca-Cola. I'm talking about alcoholic drink. Now, let me just say something for a second. Let me say this. I don't drink. I personally do not drink alcohol, not because I believe drinking an alcoholic drink is sin. I don't believe that. Okay, and we can have a discussion about that later. If you do believe that, that's fine. But in all my study of the scripture, I don't believe drinking an alcoholic drink is sin. But I was an alcoholic. Like, I had an addiction to alcohol before I gave my heart to the Lord, and even after I gave my heart to the Lord, until he broke that addiction in my life. I had an addiction to it. However, just because it's not a sin, is it weighing you down and holding you back? I mean, is this a weight in your life? You're trying to get to Jesus, but when you come home from a hard day at work, you don't go to Jesus, you go to that glass of wine. Come on. Oh, it's not sin. It's not sin to have a glass of wine, but you keep going to the glass of wine instead of going to Jesus. It's holding you back from getting to him. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you peace like you've never experienced before, but you're finding your peace in a glass of wine. And before you know it, that one glass of wine becomes two and then three because one's just not enough. And before you know it, it's pulled you into sin. It wasn't a sin to begin with. It's just a weight that slows you down from getting to Jesus, but eventually it becomes sin.
Yes.
Or maybe it's smoking. Maybe it's smoking pot. Oh, yeah, I said it. I know it's legal now, but let's call it what it is. You know, that used to be an illegal drug and you used to go to prison if you had it in your possession. Hello, anybody in here today? It's true. But now we've approved of it. Now it's just like drinking. And again, I'm not saying smoking a joint is going to send you to hell. I'm not saying that at all. But is it a weight that's slowing you down? You keep going to that instead of going to Jesus. Or I said this in the first service. I said, everybody thinks, oh, yeah, those are things that I don't do. What about shopping? Shopping, yes, I said shopping. What about shopping? Is that a weight that's slowing you down? It's not sin, but it's something that's keeping you from Jesus. You keep trying to go to Jesus, but you're addicted to those shoes. It's a joke. It's okay. I mean, I like my shoes too. You're addicted to shopping. Or how about this? Somebody said this to me after first service. They said, man, Holy Spirit just started revealing things to me. How about food? How about the activity of food, of eating? You know, I heard someone one time tell a preacher, this preacher was just preaching hard against drinking. Drinking is, it's going to send you to hell, drinking is, and this person got up after that sermon and went to the preacher and said, you know, you keep pointing at people about drinking, but your gut hangs over your belt so far. What about eating? How about that being something that's going to, you know what I mean? It was like this very, it was hard. It was harsh, but it's true. We always want to hit on these hard things, but what about eating? What if eating is a weight that's keeping us from Jesus? That can be just as much of a weight that slows us down. We're, you know, we're going to eating instead of going to Jesus for peace.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? We know that we're unhealthy. We know that there's unhealthy things in our lives, and they're slowing us down from pursuing Jesus and doing what he wants us to do, and we're trying to go after him, but our health is holding us back, and our health is holding us back because we won't put the Twinkies down. Well, I hear a bunch of murmuring, but I don't hear any amening or anything like that. The moment that friendship or relationship or hobby or activity become a distraction from pursuing Jesus, it is a weight that slows you down.
Yes.
The very moment it does. It may not be sin, but just because it's not sin doesn't mean it doesn't keep us from pursuing Jesus. It absolutely does. And they'll end up paralyzing us, keeping us stuck in one place. We want to go to Jesus, but all of these things are holding us back. James 4:4 says this, "You have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world." Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I ask you this question? How can we become spiritual adulterers if we're not spiritual to begin with? If we're not in relationship with Jesus, we're not adulterers, right? If you're not married to him, you can't be an adulterer. So this is talking to believers. This is talking to followers of Jesus. You have become spiritual adulterers because you're having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world. These things can be unholy relationships with the world. They can become that. There are weights that slow us down and then become those things. Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? Whoever chose to be the world's friend makes himself an enemy of God. Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the Spirit of God that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us? But he continues to pour out more and more grace upon us, for it says God resists you when you are proud, but he continually pours out grace when you are humble. So then, surrender yourself to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Listen to this. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer and closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure and stop doubting. So the second point is this. First point is that we need to throw off every weight that hinders us. So the second point is, once we throw those weights off, what do? Well, we cling to Jesus. The next thing we do is cling to Jesus. Let me undo these weights real fast. So if we're going to cling to Jesus, then that means we take these things, and instead of allowing them to hold us back, we surrender those to God. I'm surrendering all my hobbies, all my activities to Jesus. That belongs to you, Jesus. I want you to have that. I want everything that I do to be filtered through you. Everything that I do is filtered through you. Jesus, I want your opinion on this. Do I have this hobby? Do I have this activity? Do I do these things or not? And as you're doing that, you're drawing closer to him, and then he's pulling you closer too. And as you're pulling closer, he's pulling you closer, and then all of a sudden, it's you and Jesus. Hey, Jesus.
Hey,
how you doing, Jesus?
Hey.
I love you, Jesus. All right? That's what's happening. You're coming closer and closer, but you still got these other things. So what do you do with this? What do you do with relationships? Well, you come over here because Jesus is not letting me go now. So you got this relationship, right? This friendship, I mean. You got this friendship and you're like, listen, man, I can't do this anymore. I gotta break up with you, man. So, you know, give me that right there. Let go of that right there. And you clip all your friendships to Jesus. You clip them all to Jesus. And here's how this works. So now I'm attached to Jesus. I'm following him, and I'm getting his opinion and his advice on this. Jesus, who do you want me to be friends with, and who do you want in my life? Oh, you want Rodney Forbes in my life? Here, Rodney, I want to be friends with you, man, if you want to be friends with me. But it has to be filtered through Jesus. I'm not just going to let you have control here. Jesus has control, and my relationship with you is through Jesus. And if you're not going in this direction and he doesn't want me to have that relationship with you, then I'm not going to have that relationship with you, that friendship with you.
That's right.
You see this? Now, some of you right now are already going, wait a minute. You mean I have to ask Jesus who I'm friends with? Absolutely. Is he the center of it all for your life or not?
Yes.
Or is he only the center of those two things and this one thing right here? No, he can't be the center of, so there. So my Jesus, you can have my hobbies and my activities, but you can't have my friendships or relationships. Wow, right? So it's gotta be through Jesus. I had somebody after the first service, I'm gonna say this again, I had somebody after the first service say, there are people in my life, they said, thank you for this message, there are people in my life that are actually in the body of Christ, they're in the church, but God has told me to sever that friendship with. That they still love them, they still pray for them, okay? Listen, God has directed us and instructed us to love how many people? All people, right? We are to love everyone, right? But we don't have to have an intimate friendship with everybody. Do you understand that? Some people in the church, let me just say this, this is just Holy Spirit right here. Some people in the church get offended at me or at us because we are not intimate friends with all of you. And I'm not saying necessarily our church. That's only happened a few times here. But that happens. They're upset because I don't call you up and hang out with you and call and go over to your house and you come over and have dinner and all that. I'm sorry, I can't do that. Number one, I can't do that physically. We couldn't do that, possibly do that with the church our size. Number two, I'm going to ask Jesus who he wants me to hang out with. Right? And let's talk about outside the church, because this doesn't mean you separate yourself from people in the world and don't have any friendships in the world. I have a lot of friends who are unchurched, that are non-Christians. I have a lot of unbelieving friends in my life, but I only have them in my life if Jesus says, yes, I want you to have that friendship with them. And obviously, my friendship is to have a friendship, but also to draw them to God. Who do you think is better at drawing them to Jesus, me or Jesus? And that's why this is important. I'm going to consult Jesus, and Jesus is going to do that, right? I'm friends with him, but Jesus is going to do that because he has a personal relationship. Huh? Look at that. Rod squared. And then what about relationships? Relationships. Come here, baby. Listen, baby, this is not going well. And,
this is only because we are not married in this scenario.
That's right. Yeah. This is obviously. Okay. They know that.
Well, just
but here's the thing. Listen, I'm going to have to break up with you. And listen, it's not you. It's me. It's not you. It's me. So. Girl, you know I'd never do this in real life, all right? But my relationships are connected to Jesus. How many of you believe that Jesus knows exactly who you should be with for the rest of your life in a relationship? Absolutely. We talk about soulmate and all that. No, it's who Jesus picked for you. It's who he designed for your life. There is a person out there. Some of you right now, listen, young people, if you're not in a relationship right now, let me just tell you, there is a person out there. God is already preparing. He's preparing. If he knows what's best, he knows exactly who you should be with, and he's preparing that person for you, and they will come your way. Isn't that right, Randon? It just happens, doesn't it? God just brings them into your life when you trust him. But you got to have that relationship clipped to Jesus, right? And then Jesus will bring that person. Come here, you hot-looking thing over there. Bring that person into your life. And when Jesus brings that person into your life, hey, step out that way, Rod and Kim, a little bit. Step out that way. We use this all the time in counseling, okay? We use this all the time in counseling. So, like these friendships and relationships right here, I always say to people when I'm doing premarital counseling or couple counseling, stuff like that, I say, if you, the two of you are like, it's like a triangle and God's here. If the two of you are headed toward Jesus, toward God, then you're drawing closer together and your relationship will be beautiful. If you reverse that and the two of you are going away in opposite directions, you're going away from each other.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of this. If our relationship with each other is centered on Jesus, if we're both going in that direction toward Jesus, then she is not a hindrance, or vice versa. I'm not a hindrance to her. She's going toward God. I'm going toward God. And then the beauty of that is then we don't fall into sin. Right? It was a weight that was slowing me down, but now because it's through Jesus and he says this relationship's okay for me, it's not a weight any longer that slows me down. How many of you get this? All right, thank you guys for the help. Give him a hand. See, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, in the Passion Translation, listen to this scripture in Matthew 11, 28. Are you weary? Carrying a heavy burden? Think about what he's saying here. Jesus is saying, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I am gentle, humble, and easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. When Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, he's saying, join your life with mine. Connect with me. If you're pursuing me, then connect with me. And then if you do that in your friendships, your relationships, your hobbies, your activities, every part of your life, if it's connected to Jesus, then there will be no weights that are slowing you down and hindering you. This is a continual process. It's a continual fight. Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. Can I just stop for a second and say, think about how harsh that must have sounded to the people around Jesus. Think about that. Think about if I said to you, and I'm not Jesus, but just think about if I said to you, if you want to continue to be part of this church, you must completely reject and disown every other part of your life. Like the majority of you would probably get up and go, I'm out. He's crazy. This is what Jesus was saying to the crowds that were following him. Okay, you want to follow me? Because see, there were a lot of people that were following Jesus at that time just for the miracles that he would do. I say this all the time, quit pursuing the hand of God, pursue the face of God, and his hand will follow. If you're just pursuing the hand of God, just what he can do for you, just what he can give you, then you're missing the whole point. If we're just doing this so God will give us an abundant life here on earth, but we don't want that connection, that relationship with Jesus, that abundant life that comes through that relationship, then we're missing it all. So Jesus said this to them. He's like, I'm going to thin out this crowd right now. He didn't say that, but I can imagine him. I'm just going to thin the crowd out right now. If you want to truly follow me, you must completely at once reject your own and disown your own life, and you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own as you continually surrender to my ways. Continually surrender to my ways. This is not something that you just need to do today. Because in a minute, you're going to throw off every weight. But it's not just something you do today. It's something you do every single day. You let Holy Spirit examine your heart and you say to him, is there something in my life that's holding me back? Maybe it's a business opportunity. Maybe it's something you've gotten involved in the world or in the church. It's not a sin. There can be things you're doing in the church that become a weight to you. I remember having a conversation with Ethan over here. Ethan is one of our associate pastors, and a couple years ago we had a conversation with Ethan, and Ethan and I were talking about, in a meeting we were in, we're talking about what he wants to do, what he desires to do. And at the time, Ethan said, some of the things I'm doing right now is not a passion. I'm not passionate about it. It's not what I desire to do. And there are times that you need to do some things you're not passionate about, because if God said, I need this in your life, I want you to do this, then do it. But sometimes we keep doing things out of obligation or out of, you know, whatever. We just feel like we have to do it. And I said to Ethan, if this is not a God thing in your life, then you need to get it out of your life. If this is not what God wants you to do, you remember this conversation. If this is not where he wants you, then let's not be there. Because it's just going to be a weight that slows you down. You're trying to do what you can for the kingdom of God. You're trying to pursue Jesus with all of your heart and give him all of you. And you've got something that you're doing in the church that's slowing you down from doing what God wants you to do. That's why people all the time, you know, people like refuse to get involved in things because they got burned one time. They were involved in the church and they got involved in so many things. They just didn't know how to say, no, that's not the passion that God's placed in my heart. No, that's not where he wants me. And instead they said yes to everything and then it weighed them down. Are you listening to me today? They weighed them down and then they threw it all off. Instead of just throwing off the stuff that Jesus said threw off, they unclipped it all. They threw it all off and said, no, I don't want to do anything in the church. And that's not right either. If we would all just pursue what God wants us to pursue and just throw off the weights that are hindering us, that he's saying, I never put that in your life, or I put it in your life and you didn't let go of it when I told you to let go of it. Wow, we could go a lot of places with this, couldn't we? Yeah. So listen to the scripture in Psalm 63. He says, with passion I pursue and cling to you because I feel your grip on my life. I keep my soul close to your heart. Man, I love this scripture. With passion, I pursue and cling to you. Jesus, what he desires from us is just to pursue him and cling to him. And as we do, we can feel his secure grip, his grip on our life pulling us. And anytime there's anything in our life that does not belong to him, we just throw it off. And I'll say this last thing, Ephesians 6:10. In the New Living Translation, it says a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. But listen to it in the Passion Translation. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. be supernaturally infused with strength in your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Wow. Have this life union with Jesus. Be connected to him. Just say, Father, give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but just give me Jesus. That's what I want more than anything else.